The following recording is copyright 2011, Diocese of Little Rock, all rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
The Greek philosophers had a concept of God's perfection very different from that of the Bible. Their idea was that if something is the very best that is possible, it cannot change, because all change is either improvement or decline. And if improvement, then you weren't perfect earlier. If decline, you're no longer perfect. So according to the Greeks, it is useless to pray to God for God to change his mind. Because if he's perfect, he cannot and should not change his already perfect decisions, because they are better than anything we could ever think to talk him into. According to them, God also has no emotions, because emotions involve change from one mood to another. The very word emotion carries with it the idea of motion, moving from happy to sad or sad to happy. So they called God the unmoved mover. He created the world, set everything in motion, but according to them, he himself cannot be moved, does not intervene in our lives. This impersonal, unfeeling God is the opposite of the God we find in the Bible. In today's gospel, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, and in so doing, makes it very clear that God does have feelings, does respond to prayer, and is moved by the painful things in our lives. The God of the Bible is the moved mover, not the unmoved mover. And with that comes a very different Jewish understanding of perfection. For the Bible, perfection is not a static, fixed point higher than which no further improvement is possible. Rather, in the Bible, perfection is dynamic, a moving target, because its essence is not an abstract concept, but rather, quite simply, love. Love is the key to perfection in the Bible. And love, even perfect love, can be messy. With love, there is always the danger of our intentions being misunderstood or misconstrued. Just 19 verses earlier than the passage we had in today's gospel, Jesus' enemies, moved by hate, had been picking up rocks to stone him for blasphemy, because he had said, "The Father and I are one." But as this story unfolds, Jesus demonstrates three important truths. First, that what is true for Jesus is also true for God. That Jesus' heart is moved by the painful things in our lives, and therefore, God is moved as well. And so God feels our pain and responds to our prayers. He loves us, and for that reason wants what will be best for us. In this story, we see how God, the moved mover, acts through Jesus. Jesus hears that his friend Lazarus is ill and so returns to Judea to visit him, even though he was still at risk of being stoned for blasphemy just 19 verses earlier. And then when he learned that Lazarus had died, his heart, God's heart, was moved with grief. And when he sees the grief of his friends Martha and Mary, his heart, God's heart, is moved with pity. Which leads to that most famous, shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. These two words tell us so much about God. Namely, that God's very nature is love, not some abstract theoretical perfection. That God feels, that God's heart not only can be moved, it is moved quite often, all the time, because our God takes a personal interest in us. And so what does Jesus do? He prays to the Father, asking God to change his mind, to restore Lazarus to life. And that's exactly what God does. The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, his face wrapped in a cloth. You know, it must have been pretty scary. And then Jesus said, untie him and let him go. You and I are called to be one with the Father as well. One with Jesus. Which means that what is true for them ought to be true also for us. That's why when Jesus tells us that we are to be perfect as God is perfect, he means that we are to be perfect like the mood mover of the Bible is perfect. Not like the impersonal, unfeeling, unmoved mover of the Greeks. In other words, if we are to be perfect, that means that our hearts will be moved by human suffering. That our hearts will be moved like God's heart is moved. That we will feel the pain of those who are suffering. And that we will raise our voices to the Father on their behalf, like Jesus did for Martha and Mary. Us doing what we can to loosen the bonds of those who are oppressed, like Jesus did for Lazarus, setting him free, raising him from the dead, saying, untie him and let him go. Okay. Of course, people in our own time are oppressed in lots of ways and bound in lots of ways by sin and by illness, by unhealthy relationships, by addictions to alcohol and drugs and pornography, overeating and gambling, sexual addictions, all sorts of things. People are not free. And so what should we do? The same thing Jesus did for Lazarus. Pray to the Father, asking him to restore that person to life, especially people that we're very concerned about. And then take a personal interest in that person, allowing our hearts to be moved with pity for them. And then doing whatever is in our power to set them free, trusting in God to do the rest.